out of damage. May Allah really save us from hypocrisy. He will guide them and amend their condition. For who? سَيَهْدِهِمْ وَيُسْلِحُ وَعَلَهُمْ. The one who comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who truly have the iman in their heart, meaning iman has already entered their heart. Let's make the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep this iman in our hearts, not just in our heart, eyes and minds, and admit them to paradise, which He has made known to them. How beautiful. O you who have believed, if you supported Allah, He will support you. Highlight this ayah number 7. Now why? Because in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, in tansurullaha yansurukum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. O you who have believed, this is you and I, right? What is the command? If you support Allah. What? How can we support Allah? Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs our support? He doesn't. Then what it means is that support Allah's deen. Right? Allah's deen. He will support you. If we, you and I, support Allah's deen physically, mentally, spiritually, with our wealth, with our skills, with our body, with our mindset, guess what's going to happen? Allah will support us. Meaning, Allah will take care of your petty issues in your life, which you spend so much time thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to be the job, what's going to be the kid, how is she going to marry, are they going to come back, are they treating her right or not, and my kids are doing this and they're doing that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, free your mind from all these worries. I will take care of you. You just take care of my team. You know what it is? This is, ayah is actually telling us, what are we here for? To worry about the day-to-day life, how we're going to make the career, how we're going to go, which education do we go to. Yes, you can do all that, but this should not be your worries. People spend all their life worrying about one thing after the other, and in this rut and chain of worrying, they go from this world, not realizing it, that if they let go of these worries in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who's going to protect them, and who's the one who can protect it better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you think you and I can really raise our children the way we want to, and they're going to come out pious? This is a misconception people have. Do you think if you send your child to an Ivy League school, he's going to have the best life possible? This is a misconception people have. Do you think you can, if you can earn a job in a company which is a hi-fi company and a really name brand company, if people die to work for that company, you're working for that company, you are all saved? This is a misconception people have. So what do we understand here? If we give our daily affairs all the worries, whether it's the worried how to buy the shoes, or it's the worry what to cook, or is the worry how to feed my family, or is the worry how to raise my family? All worries should be in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All your worry should be how you're going to support the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because once you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes your ally, your supporter. But those who disbelieve, for them is misery, and He will waste their deeds. And that is because they dislike what Allah revealed, so He rendered worthless their deeds. Highlight this part. What do we learn here? فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make their deeds go to waste. People who may be working like crazy in this world, maybe they work 40 hours to 80 hours a week job, and they have no time to even breathe. You see people around us like that who are really crazy about their work. And they're always constantly working, making themselves tired. They don't even have time to attend their child's events. They don't have time to talk to their child and teach them one hadith because they're too busy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that these will be worth it. These will be worthless. So this is something very scary we need to understand. Have they not traveled through the land and seen how was the end of those before them? Allah destroyed everything over them. And for the disbelievers is something comparable. That is because Allah is the protector. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى. So what have we learned? Make Allah our protector. Let's make dua, O Allah, you become our protector. Protector of those who have believed, and because the disbelievers have no protector. What do we learn in this paragraph? A good leader guides his team. Prophet ﷺ was the best of the leaders, and Allah's help is help help, is helping his team, basically. Narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the believers after being saved from the hellfire will be stopped at a bridge between paradise and hell, and mutual retaliation will be established among them regarding wrong they have committed in the world against one another. After they are cleansed and purified through the retaliation, they will be admitted into paradise. And by him in whose hand is Muhammad's soul is, every one of them will know his dwelling in the paradise better than he knew his dwelling in this world. Meaning he will know exactly where to go. There will be no GPS system, but they would know already as if they have already been there. How beautiful. This is in Bukhari 6535. In the next paragraph, ayah number 12 to 19, we learn Sadaqah Jariyah is streams of continuous rewards. How do we do that? Let's learn. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدْخِلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Indeed, Allah will admit those who have believed and done righteous deeds to garden beneath which river flow, but those who disbelieve enjoy themselves and eat as a grazing livestock eat, and the fire will be residence for them. Notice here, Allah SWT is saying those who do deeds that are become sadaqah jariyah in this dunya, when they leave, this is they will have the running streams of honey, water, and beautiful milk, and all good things. Why? For who? The one who lives this life according to their own desire? No. The one who lives their life according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. And how many a city was stronger than your city, that is Makkah, which drove you out? We destroyed them, and there was no helper for them. So is he who is on clear evidence from his Lord like him to one to whom the evil of his work has been made attractive, and they follow their own desires? Notice here, we learned so many times about following the desires. And Allah SWT is giving every ayah is full of comparison. If you know, we were to make an activity on this surah, it would be nice that it would be like a comparison chart. Believers, disbelievers. Munafiq, believers. Good believers and not active believers. Allah SWT is giving comparison for every ayah. So what do we learn from this? We learn which side do we want to be in. Is the description of the paradise which the righteous are promised wherein are rivers of the water unaltered, meaning the taste of the water will not go bad, and rivers of milk, the taste of which never changes, meaning it will never rotten, and of rivers of wine, delicious to those who drink, and the rivers of purified honey, in which they will have from all kinds of fruits, and forgiveness from their Lord, are in its inhabitants, like those who abide eternally in the fire, and are given to drink scalding water, that will sever their intestines. Can these two categories of people be the same? It cannot. So we just have to realize. And among them, O Prophet, are those who listen to you until when they depart from you, they say to those who were given knowledge, what has he said just now? Those are the ones of whom Allah has sealed over their hearts and who have followed their own desires. Ayah number 16 tells us, when people ignore Allah's commands and they start following their own desire, and eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals their hearts and they never find out that they're doing something wrong. They never find out if they're missing on something, and they get too busy in a rut cycle that they are in. May Allah save us from that. And those who are guided, he increased them in the guidance. Can we make dua? Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, zadahum, increased us in our guidance. You have brought us this far. Don't let us go and make a U-turn and go back to the life that we had before Quran. We want to stay in this path. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ هَتَدَوْ زَادَهُمْ هُدًا وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ وَتَقْوَاهُمْ. And they do not, do they await except that the hour should come upon them? And the hour should come upon them unexpectedly, but already there have come some of its indications. Then how that is what good to them when it has come will be their remembrance. So know, O Prophet, that there is no deity except Allah, and ask forgiveness for your sin. Can we ask Allah forgiveness right now? واستغفر لذنبك وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والله يعلم متقلبكم ومثواكم. Forgiveness for your sin and for the believing men and believing women, and Allah knows of you, of your movement and your resting place. Those who believe say, why has a surah not has been sent down? But when a precise surah is revealed and battle is mentioned therein, you see those in whose heart is disease, meaning the disease of hypocrisy, looking at you with the look of one overcome by death, as if it is something really hard for them. They cannot imagine that they have to go for a battle and put their lives on risk. They can't do that. And more appropriate for them would have been, meaning when there is a hypocrisy in the heart, people find the commands of Allah very hard. People find that, no, this I cannot do. I have things to do. I have family to take care of. I have things to run errands, and I have this job to do. And they say, you know what, I cannot come and focus 2 years of my life to Quran? No, that's too much. And those same people can spend 16 years, 17 years of life to the world, worldly education, and they cannot spare 2 years from their life. So what do we learn here? Sadaqah Jariyah streams that will be there. And in Hakim bin Mu'awiyah narrated from his father that the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, in paradise there is a sea of water and a sea of honey and a sea of milk and a sea of wine. Then the river shall split off afterwards. And this is in Tirmidhi 2571. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us do the deeds that we can earn these streams of beautiful flavors. Ayah number 20 to 28, we have already learned the 20th ayah. 21, obedience and good words. In this paragraph, we're learning, don't they ponder? And when the matter of fighting was determined, if they had been true to Allah, it would have been better for them. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you think that you are comfortable in this dunya, this is better for you, but no. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you, that is better for you. So would you perhaps, if you turned away, cause corruption on earth and sever your ties of relationship, meaning cutting your ties? Those who do so are the ones that Allah has cursed, so He defend them and blinder their vision. Then do they not reflect upon the Quran, or are the locks upon their heart? Seems like, you know, we're learning the Surah Tawbah again about all the hypocrisy traits. There's a lock in their hearts. They're not getting it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. Indeed, those who reverted back to disbelief after guidance has become clear to them, shaitan enticed them and prolonged hope for them. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. O Allah, once you have guided us, keep us on a straight path, and don't give any deviation in our way of deen. That is because they say to those who dislike what Allah sent down, we will obey you in part of the matter, and Allah knows what they conceal. Meaning they say something else and they do something else. Then how will it be when the angels take them in death, striking their faces and their backs? Ya Allah, Allahu Akbar. That is because they followed what angered Allah and disliked what earns His pleasure, so He rendered worthless their deeds. Notice here, when people call upon the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing something, that disobeying something, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is basically calling Allah's anger upon them. So what do we learn in this paragraph? Narrated Abu Bakr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no sin more fitted to have punishment meted out by Allah to its perpetuator in advance in this world, along with whatever he stores up for him in the next world, then oppression and severing ties of relationship. Meaning, do not do zulm on anyone and do not cut the ties of kinship. People are too quick to say, I don't like my sister. They didn't give me the inheritance share. I don't like my brother. I don't like. Who are you to like or dislike? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made these kinships. Make that we keep these kinships. And debts will be deleted. Deeds will be deleted if not done with sincerity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them worthless. And no transgression. Keep kinship one-sided. Even if they're not able to keep kinship with you, they do bad attitude towards you, you're the one who keep on trying from one-sided. It doesn't matter. if they welcome you or not. You know why? Because you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do tadabbur and tazakkur on the ayahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so important that we pay attention to tadabbur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just telling us in this paragraph. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever loves to be granted ample provisions and a long life should maintain good ties with his or her relatives. So what do we learn? We learn that keeping the kinship is extremely, extremely important things to do. And if we want to live longer life, then we should do that. And we learn about the tadabbur and the tadhakkur. Imam Muhammad bin Nasad Marzavi said that Sahaba used to think that a person says kalima, then there's no hurt person. There's no hurt for him, right? So his sins will not hurt him. Just like in presence of shirk, no good deed is beneficial. Upon this ayah was revealed that no, obey Allah and obey Messenger. It is important. And Sahaba got scared and they said, you know what? What if sins destroys the good deeds? In another narration, we learned that Sahaba used to think that every deed is accepted. Today we also think that, right? Every deed is accepted. We're doing ihsan upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by committing the deeds. But until this ayah was revealed, they said, this ayah is talking about us, major sins and immorality. They were scared of that. And the one who saves himself, they were hopeful. So meaning is that Sahaba were fearful of their sins and they were scared of their deeds not being accepted. We sometimes take very easily that sins, oh, Allah is forgiving. And the deeds, oh, they are definitely accepted. So we learn from the attitude of Sahaba that we have to worry about our sins and we have to worry about our deeds too, good deeds too, that whether they're accepted or not. Ayah number 29 to 38, they became stingy. So what do we learn here? أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ أَنْ لَنْ يُخْرِجَ اللَّهَ أَضْغَانَكُمْ. Or do those in whose heart is disease think that Allah would never expose their feelings of hatred? And if we would, we could show them to you and you would know. You would know them by their mark, but you will surely know them by the tone of their speech. And Allah knows your deeds. Sometimes, you know, you can tell by the tone of the speech people are willing to do it or not. And we will surely test you until we make evidence. Those who strive among you for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the patient, and we will test your affairs. وَنَبْلُوا أَحْبَارَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test to find out if there is any kind of nifaq, any kind of hypocrisy in anybody's heart. Indeed, those who disbelieve and averted people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and opposed the messenger after guidance has become clear to them, never will they harm Allah at all, and He will render worthless their deeds. فَسَيُحْبِطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. This is the third time it's coming. Deeds being wasted. We must be very careful. This is why Sahaba used to be so scared. What if we're doing all these good deeds? What if we're fasting today, right this moment, and doing something negative too? What if we are learning Quran right this moment and thinking of something else too? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants is our attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants our deeds to be sincere to Him, or else they will be wasted. Allah, save us from this kind of wastage, because people may think they have so many good deeds. This is why you're not supposed to judge people by their deeds, because you don't know what their intentions are and they don't know what our intentions are, right? So be careful. And O you who have believed, obey Allah. Ya ayyu alladhina amanu atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul wa la tubtilu amalakum. O you who have believed, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and do not invalidate your deeds. وَلَا تُبِطُلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. What is invalidation of deed means? Meaning that deeds go to waste because of something. Like, for example, you give money to somebody and now you're receiving. Ah, look, I am the one who gives. Or it could be anything. In other words, when taqwa comes in, the vision of seeing and worrying comes in too. Meaning then the person is careful that, you know what, when I was inviting my family to dinner, what was the intention? Did I do it to show off the new sofa that I just bought, or did I do it in the reason for keeping the kinship ties? You know, it's very scary. Indeed, those who disbelieve and avert people from the path of Allah and then died While they were disbelievers, never will Allah forgive them. So do not weaken and call for peace while you are superior and Allah is with you and will never deprive of you reward of your deeds. This worldly life is the only amusement and diversion. And if you believe and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give you your reward and not ask you for your properties. If he should ask you for them and press you, you would withhold. Notice here. Let me read this ayah again. إِن يَسْأَلُكُمُوهَا فَيُفْرِكُمْ تَبْخَلُوا وَيُخْرِجْ أَضْغَانَكُمْ. If he should ask you for them and press you, you would withhold and you would expose your hatred, meaning you would not give. You would not spend, and your heart would tell you, no, I don't want to spend. And this is what people make even more stingy. They don't want to spend on deen. And this is also a sign of hypocrisy. This is so scary. Allahu Akbar. Here you are, those invited, spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But among you are those who withhold out of greed. People are so greedy, they think that they are going to need this money for themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they withheld spending the money on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever withholds, benefit from himself. And Allah is free of need. Allah does not need a penny from us. Allah gives us opportunity to give. And when people withhold, they are suffering, they are hurting themselves. And Allah is free of need, while you are the needy. Notice here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah is al-ghani wa antum al-fuqara. Allah is ghani and we are faqir. We are in need, and He will replace you with another people. Then they will not be the like of you. Meaning, we are worthless in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless we give something in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When hypocrisy takes over the heart, people even count when giving zakah. You know, have you ever heard something like that? Oh, you know, zakah, that there's a minimum nisab that you have to pay zakah on. So people ask question, oh, should we pay zakah on the minimum nisab or after the nisab? Meaning, if I have something more than what is zakah is required upon, so I should give zakah only the extra amount, or should I give the zakah on the whole amount? Little they understand that the minimum amount that is there for you is the mandatory part. It is not the level of taqwa. You know, there are two levels of taqwa, two levels of iman, right? One is when people stay on the level of fatwa. They got the fatwa, this is the requirement is, and they just follow that. When the people have taqwa, they give more than that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, develop taqwa, open up a heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Give now, give as much, because if you and I die today, the money and the wealth and we have left behind us, they will go to heirs. What benefit is going to bring to us? And you know, somebody just recently was in a deathbed, and they were, he was like 96 years old, I believe, and they were about to pass away. You can tell the signs were already there. And he was told by his family that the property, why don't you give it right now to somebody who's needed, because they don't have any kids. He said, yeah, I will. And he never did. And he passed away. And this has happened in our family recently. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us really understanding that whatever we have belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the 2.5% versus the 97.5%. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, you can keep the 2.5% and you have to give 97.5%. Imagine the nifaq then. So companions were very fearful about these ayahs. So let's check into the self-analysis. Are we fearful about these ayahs or not? Surah Fatha, beautiful surah. Let's listen to the couple of first two ayahs for recitation while we ponder upon our mindset. What do we want? Are we fearful about these ayahs? Are we fearful about our deeds being wasted? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Let's go to the Surah Al-Fatiha, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. Indeed, we have given you, O Prophet, a clear conquest, that Allah may forgive you what preceded of your sin, that is errors, and what will follow, and complete His favors upon you and guide you to a straight path. How beautiful this ayah again, that Allah may forgive you for what preceded of your sins, that is errors, and what will follow and complete His favor upon you and guide you to the straight path. Allah SWT is saying that the Fath al-Mubinan, the great conquest of Makkah, this is the news that Allah SWT is saying, the clear conquest, Fath al-Mubinan. What is it? That Allah SWT forgives you and follow the deen in a complete way, His favors upon you. Surah Fatha is basically, we learn this, the victory in disguise, meaning the Treaty of Hudaybiyah that seemed very impossible, that seemed very unreasonable. The clause that were put in that Hudaybiyah was very, very biased, very, very not so normal, not in favor of Muslims at all. But yet Muslims followed this, kept this treaty, because of this treaty, because of their patience, because of their agreement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them fatah. The conquest of Makkah happened after just 2 years after that. So what we learn here is that sometimes we think that the problems are there and they're there for our bad. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you be patient and if you don't complain, Allah will give you victory. So, and this surah Fath, the whole surah is about sakina, the tranquility in the hearts. Because this is what happens when people really devote their hearts and minds to their deen. So, and that Allah may aid you with a mighty victory. It is He who sent down tranquility. Notice here, Allah's mother says, Hawalazi anzala sakina tafi qulubil mu'mineen. O Allah, send tranquility, sakina upon our hearts, upon every Muslim's heart. Of the believers, that they would increase in faith. This is what happens. When tranquility comes in the heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the faith. That they would increase in faith along with their present faith, and to Allah belong the soldiers of the heavens and the earth, and ever is Allah knowing and wise, and that He may admit the believing men and the believing women to gardens beneath which river flows, to abide therein eternally, and remove from them their misdeeds, and ever is that in the sight of Allah a great attainment. Fawzan azima. Why? Because when people do not complain and agree to unfavorable terms for the sake of Allah's deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them tranquility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows the favor of Jannat al-Na'im for them under the garden of the Jannah. And that He may punish the hypocrite men and hypocrite women and the polytheist men and the polytheist women, those who assume about Allah an assumption. A lot of people are just assuming Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, we will be forgiving. A lot of people are just assuming, so what if you go to Jahannam for a few days and we will come back? All these assumptions will make people go astray. Upon them is a misfortune of evil nature, and Allah has become angry with them and has cursed them and prepared for them hell, and evil it is the destination. O Allah, save us from your anger. And to Allah belong the soldiers of the heavens and the earth. Notice here, Allah repeating this ayah. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And He ever is Allah, exalted in might and wise. Indeed, we have sent you as a witness and a bringer of good tidings and a warner, that you people may believe in Allah and His messenger and honor Him. Notice here. We need to do this. Honor Him and respect Him, that is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and exalt Him, that is Allah, morning and the afternoon. Meaning, honoring Prophet is part of our iman, and do the iskar of morning and afternoon. Mention Allah's name and during these times. Indeed, those who pledge allegiance to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is about the Bayt al-Ridwan. They had this pledge of allegiance in the hands of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are actually pledging allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though physically they were pledging allegiance on the hands of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they were pledging pledging their allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hand of Allah is over their hands. Can you believe it? When a person pledges that I devote myself to Allah, Allah puts his hand over it. And so he in the name of that obey Allah, to respect Allah and His Messenger, and to help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to do the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning and evening, day and night, and believe. And beliefs have to be correct. And then obey with whether it makes sense or not. Because this Bayt-e-Ridwan, this was not making sense, but they did it anyway. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts sakina and give these rewards. Every evil has goodness in it. So look for the positive side of the things. Ayah number 11 to 17, their excuses. Those who remained behind of the Bedouins will say to you, oh, our prophets and our families occupied us. Notice here, what are they saying? They are saying, سيقول لك المخلفون من الأعراب شغلتنا أموالنا وأهلنا فاستغفر لنا. Meaning, we have family to take care of. Just excuse us. We can go. Our properties and our families occupied us. So we're so busy serving them. So ask forgiveness for us. They say with their tongues, with what is not with their hearts. Within their hearts, meaning they don't really mean it. They can take time out. It's not that hard. Allah will take care of their stuff anyway, but they just make excuses. Say, then who could prevent Allah at all if He intended for you harm or intended for you benefit? Rather, ever is Allah of what you do aware. But you thought that the Messenger and the believers would never return to their families ever, and that was made pleasing in your heart. Meaning they thought if they would go out, they would not come back alive. And this deed of theirs, this act and this thought of theirs, their desire of theirs, was made pleasing to their eyes and hearts. And you assumed an assumption of evil and become people ruined. May Allah truly save us. And whoever has not believed in Allah and His Messenger, then indeed we have prepared for the disbelievers a blaze. And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He forgives whom He wills and punishes whom He wills. And ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. Those who remain behind will say, when you set out towards the booty to take it, let us follow you. They wish to change the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, never will you follow us. Thus did Allah say before. So they will say, rather, you envy us, but in fact, they were not understanding except a little. So to those who remain behind of the Bedouins, you will be called to face a people of great military might. You may fight them, and they will submit. If you obey, Allah will give you good reward. But if you turn away, as you turned away before, He will punish you with a painful punishment. There is not upon the blind any guilt, or upon the lame any guilt, or upon the ill any guilt for remaining behind. Meaning the exceptions are given. Yes, if the person is blind and he's suffering and he's some kind of a genuine reason, then he can remain behind and there is no sin upon him. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, He will admit him to the gardens beneath which river flows. But whoever turns away, He will punish him with a painful punishment. What did we learn in this paragraph? Know our reasons and excuses when we back off, when we say, no, this is not the time for me. This is not the time that I can come to Quran. What are the excuses? Are they genuine excuses or are they following my own desires? When Iman is weak, people justify their lifestyle and they get so busy in it, they don't find anything wrong in that. And Allah is all forgiving. As long as people come back, realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them. People like to be part of the success, but not really work for it. These Bedouins, when the war booty would come, they would say, yes, we are with you. But when their time for fighting came, they said, no excuses. We cannot go. We cannot do. But there for deen, unless genuine restraints. Be there for deen unless there's a genuine restraint. Then yes, so that's okay. Like physical restraints, like handicap, like any other reason. You have to take care of your mother. She's ill or something like that. But still, there's always some time people can take out. Worry and plan for akhirah. Ayah number 18 to 26. Those whom Allah is pleased with, that's a Baytul Ridwan we're going to learn here. Certainly, was Allah pleased with the believers when they pledged allegiance to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, under the tree, and He knows what was in their heart, so He sent down tranquility upon them and rewarded them with an imminent conquest. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of people who pledge allegiance to Allah's deen. And much war booty which they will take, and ever is Allah exalted in might and wise. And Allah has promised you much booty that you will take in the future, and has hastened for you this victory and withheld the hands of people from you. That is, and that it may be a sign for the believers, and that He may guide you a straight path. And He promises other victories that you were so far unable to realize, which Allah has already encompassed, and ever is Allah over all things competent. These people, these believers, did not know at the time that the victory will come, right? But they still did the pledge of allegiance. So they did not have their eyes on a prize. They did it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a difference when people do it for the prize or people do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if those Makkans who disbelieved had fought you, they would have turned their backs retreating. Then they would not find a protector or a helper. That is established way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has occurred before. And never will you find in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any change. And it is He who withheld their hands from you and your hands from them within the area of Makkah after He caused you to overcome them. And ever is Allah of what you do seeing. They are the ones who disbelieve and obstruct you from Al-Masjid al-Haram while the offering was prevented from reaching its place of sacrifice. And if not for the believing men and believing women who did not know that you might trample, that is kill them, and there would befall you, because of them, dishonor without your knowledge. You would have been permitted to enter Makkah. This was so that Allah might admit you to His mercy, whom He willed. If they had been apart from them, we would have punished those who disbelieve among them with painful punishment. When those who disbelieve had put into their hearts chauvinism, the chauvinism of the time of ignorance. But Allah sent down His tranquility upon His messenger and upon the believers, and imposed upon them the word of the righteousness, and they were more deserving of it and worthy of it, and ever is Allah of all things knowing. This treaty was broken by them, and group of them, one of the tribe groupmen, they actually attacked the Muslims, and that's how the treaty was broken. At the time, the treaty seemed unreasonable, because since they were the one who broke the treaty, now Muslims were not obliged to stay with the treaty, and this went in favor of Muslims, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory. So what do we learn here? Work now and sleep in peace later. People who sleep in this dunya, they have to work in the jahannam. So let's work now in this dunya so we can have a peaceful, restful life where the gardens of a river will be flowing underneath. Allah gives sakina and tranquility to a believer. Pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, I am here for you. Can we say that now? O Allah, I am here for you, for your book. I am willing to learn it. Know your efforts and where do they stand. Are they good enough or they are lame? For Sakina to come, develop the personalities like Sahaba. Sahaba had amazing personality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them tranquility. If we want tranquility in our life, then we need to develop the personality traits like Sahaba. Ayah number 27 to 29, their mission. May Allah give us the mission like them too. Certainly, has Allah showed His messenger the vision, that is dream, in truth, you will surely enter Al-Masjid al-Haram if Allah wills, in safety. With He knew what you did not know and has arranged before that a conquest near at hand. Prophet saw a dream that they're entering Makkah and they're doing Umrah. And Allah made this dream true, not the year that he saw the dream, but the year after that. It is He who sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to manifest this over all religion. And وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And sufficient is Allah as witness. Muhammad is a messenger of Allah, and those with him are forceful against disbelievers. This ayah number 29 is the qualities of the Sahaba. Let's put the numbers down, because these qualities is what made them Sahaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning these qualities so we can learn the lesson. Because those Sahaba, they were not Sahaba just because they were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those Sahabas had their own qualities, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them that what kind of personality do we, you and I, need to develop? Who are they? And those with him are forceful against the disbelievers, meaning they're tough on disbelievers and full among themselves, but they're very kind, gentle and merciful among themselves. You see them bound and prostrating. This is the next quality. They do ruku and sujood in prayer. Then why do they do that? Seeking bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they only call upon Allah only and His pleasure. You know, Sahaba used to be around Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they would not ask Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make dua. They would ask dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only and directly. Their signs is in their faces from the effect of prostration, meaning their faces showed the humility that they had in their heart and the khashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they had in their heart. You know what? If the khashiyah is in the heart, it reflects on your faces. Their faces were brightened. You can see by looking at them that they are humble slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the quality of humbleness. And effects of prostration, that is prayer, that is their description in the Torah. And they were mentioned also in Torah too. Did you know that? The mention of Sahaba along with Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Torah as well. And their description is in the Gospel. It's also in Bible. And is it as a plant which produces its offshoots and strengthens them so they grow firm and stand upon their stalks, delighting the sowers. So that He, that is Allah, may emerge and be enraged by them, the disbelievers. Allah has promised those who believe and do righteous deeds among them forgiveness and a great reward. What a beautiful message this surah is ending. Be like Sahaba. The qualities of the Sahaba was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tough on disbelievers, merciful among each other. They would do ruku in sujood, and their foreheads had a mark because of the excessive sujood. Always looking for fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be a true believer by copying the lifestyle and mission of Sahaba. Good companions are blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, you and I cannot achieve much unless we are surrounded by good companions, good friends who actually support in the mission of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do everything with sincerity or the deeds will be wasted. And if you do something with sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in it. Oh Allah, give us good team, good company to work as a team and make a difference in bigger way. You know what? Sahaba were basically history makers, and today we see Muslims are self-makers. They are self-making their lives. They're just self-satisfying. But Sahaba didn't live for self. They lived for the deen. So what do we learn from this? Make a mission and cooperation will come. When we follow the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's Messenger Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you good company, good people, and you will be surrounded by them. Let's make dua for ourselves with that, inshallah. Surah Hujurat is a beautiful surah. In this surah, we learn about the etiquettes of the social life, and this surah is actually something that we can implement in our daily life, along with the qualities of the Sahaba. The personality that will come out of it is beyond our imagination. A personality that will be lit up the way they were, wherever they live, they will surround that area with the light of themselves. And this is how they will be able to conquer the hearts of the people of their own family with that. So let's make dua before we begin the Surah Al-Hujurat. What are we supposed to be doing? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very kind and very gentle. He would not say no to people out of shyness and out of niceness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am not shy of anything. I will tell the people that they should not disturb you. They should take care of you. They should be mindful of you. They should not just knock on your door every time whenever they feel like doing it. So we learn a lot of manners in this surah. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly give us ability to follow and learn from this surah. Ayah number 1 to 10, we learn some etiquettes. Please pay attention to these ayahs because this has to do with something with our daily life, and also take good notes on this. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم. O you who have believed, do not put yourself before Allah and His Messenger, but fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is hearing and knowing. O you who have believed, do not raise your voices. What do we learn here? Number 1, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or be loud to him in speech, like the loudness of some of you to others. Meaning, we must respect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must respect the company where the discuss of Prophet and the name of Allah is going on. No out loud laughing, no talking like normal casual friendship like type thing, because they deserve the respect, the deen deserves that respect. And lest your deeds become worthless while you perceive not. So from now on, let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to talk slow. If my pitch of voice is loud, that's a different story. But I should not raise my voice. Raising voice is not okay. Indeed, those who lower their voices before the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones whose hearts Allah has tested with righteousness. So what do we learn? Keep yourself humble with low tone of voice. Don't scream and yell at your kids. For them is forgiveness and great reward. May Allah give us all these rewards. Indeed, those who call you, O Prophet, from behind the chambers, most of them do not use reason. Meaning, don't just call out loud to your teachers and disturb them, because this is rude. And Prophet ﷺ was too nice to tell them not to. And if they had been patient until you could come out of them, it would have been better for them. But Allah is forgiving and merciful. Here we are learning manners, how to deal with pious people, religious people, scholars. Be mindful of their comfort as well. O you who have believed, if there comes to you a disobedient one with information, investigate, lest you harm a people out of ignorance and become over what you have done regretful. In this ayah, we learn that do not pass on information without verification. Today, people are very quick to verify and don't even verify the information, and they pass it on. It is not right. So this is why we see so much false information being circulated in this social media, and people have no time to really find out the verification. So to be on a safe side, if you don't have time to verify, do not forward. Or harm a people out of ignorance and become over what you have done regretful. Meaning sometimes people pass on this information, did you heard this? And later they found out it was a false information. Then who is responsible? You and I are. So be very mindful of that. This is such a social aspect that we need to share today, because today's society is all about forwarding, all about passing on information without any verification. And this is why what we see, society has no time but to get indulged in all these activities. And know that among you is Messenger of Allah. If he were to obey you in much of the matters, you would be in difficulty. But Allah has entered and endeared to you the faith and has made it pleasing in your heart and has made it hateful to you disbelief. O Allah, make this iman pleasing to our heart. O Allah, really, truly make this iman coolness of our eyes, the zayyana, zina of our heart. And he has made it pleasing to your hearts, and he has made hateful to you disbelief, defiance and disobedience. Those are the rightly guided. O Allah, make this disbelief and disobedience hateful to our hearts, and make iman favorable in our favor. Ayah number 8, it is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Meaning that if iman becomes something that you like, that means it's a fadl of Allah upon you. Because if you want to do something more, something extra, something better, that means this is the fadl of Allah, that now you like your iman and favor, and Allah is knowing and wise. And if two factions among the believers should fight, then make settlement between the two. But if one of them oppresses the other, then fight against the one that oppresses until it returns to the ordinance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he returns, then make settlement between them in justice and act justly. Indeed, Allah loves those who act justly. The believers are but brothers. So make settlement between your brothers and fear Allah that you may receive mercy. So what do we learn in this lesson? Differences between Iman and Islam. Some people only live on a level of Islam. They don't have Iman in their heart and they don't understand what is right and what is wrong. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is Iman is something that is in your heart. When Iman doesn't enter the heart, then the Islam is only half of the part. So this is why when a new person comes to Islam, they say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Now they enter the fold of Islam. Does that mean they have Iman too? No. Iman is something that you have to develop. One time, some companions asked the Prophet ﷺ about taqwa, because taqwa is in the heart, right? So taqwa is basically Iman. So he ﷺ tapped his finger over his chest and said, At-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna, meaning taqwa is here. He repeated that 3 times and he pointed his chest, meaning the taqwa, the Iman is in the heart. So, help Zalim by stopping him. How Sahaba asked, how can you help Zalim? The first thing is you should not be oppressing anybody. But how can you help the oppressor? By stopping him, by speaking out. You know what it means? It means Islam doesn't want you to stay quiet. Islam wants you, whenever you see something negative going on, speak up. Whatever the level of ability you have, speak up for that. Narrated Ibn Anas radiallahu anhu, Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, help your brother, whether he is an oppressor or is an oppressed. A man said, Oh Allah, Allah's apostle, I will help him if he's oppressed. But if he's an oppressor, how shall I help him? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by preventing him from oppressing others. But that is how to help him. This is in Bukhari 6952. Ayah number 11 to 18, social etiquettes. And what are they? Ya ayyuhallazina amanu. O you who have believed, let not the people ridicule another people. Perhaps they may be better than them. Nor let women ridicule other women. Notice here, there's so many things we are learning in this ayah. Take one thing at a time. Let not people ridicule one another. Meaning, do not make fun of each other. Perhaps they may be better than them. Because when people say, oh, look at them, look at the beard, look at their clothes, look at their body. What if you have the same thing too? So you cannot make fun of people. Nor let women ridicule other women. Men and women both are mentioned because this is a serious crime. And perhaps they may be better than them. And do not insult one another. And do not call each other. Second thing was, do not insult. Don't put other people down. Don't say words that make them feel low of themselves. Insulting, especially in front of other people. And you know, mothers, when it comes to insulting, they are very quick to insult their child in front of other children. Never do that. If you need to really scold your child, do it in a privately. Even in front of other siblings, you should not be doing that. Because now you are really making them so depressed and they actually become revengeful. They take revenge when they grow up. So never insult your anybody. And next thing is, do not call each other nicknames, offensive nicknames. Oh, hey shorty, ho fatty, stuff like that. Wretched is the name that is mentioned of the disobedience after one's fate. And whoever does not repent, then it is those who are the wrongdoers. Oh, you who have believed, avoid much negative assumptions. This is the next trait. This is the next social etiquette, and that is, don't just assume negativity about people. Two people are sitting together, there must be something going on in between them. No, don't just pass assumptions. Indeed, some assumptions is sin, and do not spy. This is the next one. Don't be too inquisitive. Look what they are doing. Look at their daughter. Where are they going? Let me find out. Let me sneak through the news feed of my friends. Let's see what are they posting. Let's see where are they going. Let's see what's going on in their life. People are very commonly doing doing these things now, and they're sneaking in the newsfeed and the profile of their friends, and they're saying, this is what they're doing, and they come back and they talk about it. So please be very careful in doing all these. Indeed, some assumptions is sin, and do not spy. And the next one is, or backbite each other. Isn't this very common thing we have? Backbiting is very, very wrong. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his brother when dead? You would detest it, right? And fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is accepting of repentance and merciful. Meaning, backbiting is a severe, major sin. People do it so commonly. You cannot, and we cannot get involved in this thing. Let's make dua. Let's not save us from all these traits. O mankind, indeed, we have created you from male and female and made you people and tribes that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you. Indeed, Allah is knowing and aware. The Bedouins say, we have believed. Say, you have not yet believed. This is the difference between Iman and Islam. Because they did accept Islam. They did accept Kalima. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you have not believed. You know why? Because Iman is not there yet. But say, instead, we have submitted for faith has not entered your hearts. Notice here, Allah SWT is saying, yes, you have entered the circle, but the Iman is not there in your hearts yet. So what should we do? We should worry about the Iman being in the heart. And if you obey Allah and His Messenger, He will not deprive you from your deeds of anything. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. The believers are only the ones who have believed in Allah and His Messenger. And then doubt not, but strive with their properties and their lives. Notice here, when Iman enters the heart, then people are willing to sacrifice with their wealth and their lives and strive their properties, give up their properties in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their lives in the cause of Allah. O Allah, make us among those. It is those who are the truthful ones. Sadiqoon. Say, would you acquaint Allah with your religion while Allah knows whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth, and Allah is knowing of all things. They consider it a favor of you, a favor to you, that they have accepted Islam. People say, oh, you know what? I am Muslim, like as if I'm doing a favor to you. It is not that they have accepted Islam. Say, do not consider your Islam a favor to me. You did it for yourself. Rather, Allah has conferred favor upon you that He has guided you to the faith. If you should be truthful, in kuntum sadiqeen, indeed, Allah knows the unseen aspects of the heavens and the earth, and Allah is seeing of you what you do. What do we learn in this surah? Believers are those who completely believe in everything that Allah SWT sends. Do not make fun of each other. It is narrated that nor call each other by offensive nicknames. It's in Abu Dawud 4962. Narrated by Abu Huraira, Prophet ﷺ said, be aware of suspicion, for suspicion is the worst of the false tales, and do not look for the other's faults, and do not spy, and do not be jealous of one another, and do not desert, meaning cut your relationship with one another, and do not hate one another, and O Allah's worshipper, be brothers, O Allah, make us true brothers in Islam, so that Muslim Ummah can be united, as Allah has ordered you. This is in Bukhari 6952. In the next slide, we have more. Even listening to backbiting is a sin. Do you know that? We think, oh, they're the one who's saying it. I was just listening. Know that even listening to the backbiting is a sin. Prophet ﷺ once said to Imam Ali, O Ali, when someone hears the backbiting of his Muslim brother committed in his presence, yet he does not rally to his assistance, despite being capable of doing so, God shall humiliate him in the world and in the hereafter. It was narrated by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you know what ghiba, meaning backbiting, is? They said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. He said, saying something about your brother that he dislikes. It was said, what if what I say about my brother is true? He said, if what you say is true, then you have backbitten about them. Or else, if it is not true, then you have slandered him. meaning, and this is in Muslim, meaning we cannot backbite thinking that we're saying what is true, because this is what backbiting is. Surah Qaf, a beautiful surah, inshallah. Let's begin Surah Al-Qaf. In this Surah Qaf, so the Qaf also starts with Qiyamah, so you learn and you'll have a feeling that this surah talks about Qiyamah. After learning all the social aspects of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us again about the Qiyamah, that if you think that these aspects and these traits you do not need to remove from your life, think again. Ayah number 1 to 15, we learn, live for death, meaning have your death as a focus of your life. This is the only way we can survive in this world, with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being a part of our daily life. Surah Qaf. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qaf. Wal Qur'anil Majid. By the honored Qur'an. But they wonder that there has come to them a warner from among themselves, and the disbelievers say, this is an amazing thing. When we have died and have become dust, we will return to life? That is distant, that is unlikely return. We know what the earth diminishes, that is consumes of them, and with us is retaining record. But they deny the truth when it came to them, so they are in confused condition. Have they not looked at the heaven above them? How we structured it and adorned it, and how it has no rifts in it? And the earth we spread it out, and cast therein firmly set mountains, and made grow therein something of every beautiful kind, giving insight and reminder for every servant who turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are we learning in here? Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then it becomes easy to whatever we have learned in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Notice the Surah Hujurat came in 26 juz. It didn't come in the beginning of the Quran. Do you know why? Because then people would not be able to take it. Now that you have reached and now you have grown up, you are almost grown up into an adult. Now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us all these Surah Fath, Surah Muhammad, Surah Hujran, all these surahs are teaching us something very important to do. And this Surah Qaf is teaching us that get to know, come back to reality of life. And we have sent down blessed rain from the sky and made grow thereby gardens and grains from the harvest, and lofty palm trees. And lofty palm trees having fruits arranged in layers. You know, if you only wonder how the trees, especially like look at the bananas, how they are right next to each other, and look at the grapevine grapevines, how beautiful they look hanging down. And have you ever looked at any other fruit? Did you ever visit to any farm? Inshallah, this summertime, try to visit any farm, like strawberry farm or orange farm or whatever farm you may find in your area. Try to look how beautiful fruits looks hanging. Today we live in this artificial world. Everything is from the grocery store. In fact, there was a boy who was asked by someone that, where do you think the milk comes from? He said, grocery store. So he took the name of the grocery store where they buy the milk from. Meaning, they have no idea, our kids have no idea where the actual milk comes from. They think it's from the grocery store, and so are the fruits. And lofty palm trees having fruits arranged in layers, and as provision for the servants, and we have given their life thereby to a dead land. Thus is the emergence, that is resurrection. The people of Nuh denied before them, and the companions of the well, and the Thamud, and Ad and Pharaoh, and the brothers, that is people of Lud, and the companions of the thicket, and the people of Tubba, all denied the messengers. So my threat was justly fulfilled. Ya Allahu Akbar. Did we fail in the first creation? But they are in confusion over a new creation. So what do we learn here? Allah does not get tired. He is creating everything. He has created it the first time, and He can create it again. And He has already reminded us many times. Every time this Alessandra talks about the previous nations, it's a reminder for us. Because as a human being, it is a tendency to forget and forget and forget and move on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arranged this Quran in such a way the ayahs come and ayahs go. You know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have arranged this Quran in such a way that all stories in one place, all the commands in one place, all the do's in one place, all the don'ts in one place. Don't you think this is how the books of dunya are arranged? Have you ever wondered why Allah SWT did not arrange the Quran like that? Do you know why? Because Allah SWT gives reminders. If you learn one thing, you get happy, then you forget, and then the description of the Jannah comes, then you get happy again, and the description of Jahannam comes, then you get sad again, and careful again, and then something bounties Allah SWT mentioned, then you get happy again, and then you learn about easy ayahs, and then it makes you comfortable again, and then the heavy commands come, and then you feel heavy again, and then Allah SWT reminds you, this is all for your own good. And throughout the Quran, this style of Allah talking, Allah's talking is beautiful. And the way the Quran is arranged, ulama said there is so much hikmah in it. What if it was arranged by, said, for example, topics? Then people would take only one portion of the Quran and they would not learn the whole Quran. For example, a person who may be going through the divorce, they would only open the chapter of divorce and they would say, oh, I have learned the Quran, divorce, and that's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala diversified the ayah throughout the Quran so people can benefit from it and keep on reminding. Because in the daily life also, we need reminders every now and then. And also we learn in these ayahs is that Allah's records are complete. There is nothing missing. No page is ripped off. No section is deleted. And develop deeper vision. This is what we need to do. Think deeply, everything. Think of the next time, tonight, if you cut the bananas, try to feel the texture of the banana. Try to feel the peel. How come the peel is so soft and easy, you don't need any knife to eat it? And on the other hand, some fruits that can only be cut through the knives. Why is that? Think about it. In the next ayah number 16 to 29, we learn, think before you speak. Why? Because Allah SWT says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمَ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ. And we have already created man and know what his soul whispered to him. And we are closer to him than his jugular vein. Meaning, Allah SWT is so close to the jugular vein. Jugular vein, this is your lifeline, right? Allah SWT is saying, I'm so close to you as your lifeline. If this lifeline is cut, you die. And Allah SWT is saying, if you cut me off from you, you will die. And people still go to other people. People still do the things that are sinful, not realizing that Allah SWT is very close to me. When the two receivers, that is recording angels, receive, seated on the right on and on the left, he, that is man, utters no word except that with him is an observer prepared to record. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let anything miss out. Every single tiny bit of period, dots, comma, everything is written in there. And he, that is man, utters no word except that with him is an observer prepared. And the intoxication of death will bring the truth. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. And intoxication of death will bring the truth. That is what you were trying to avoid. Meaning, it is real, it is a reality, it will happen, we cannot avoid it, and the horn will be blown. That is the day of implementing the threat. Meaning, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ, the sword, the trumpet, the angel is carrying in his mouth, ready to be blown any single minute. And yet, Sakarat al-Maut is also real. And do we think that we still have time to play around and think of this world as a play place? Like a McDonald's have a play place. And the horn will be blown. And every soul will come with it a driver and a witness. Meaning two angels. One's name is Saif and the other one's name is Shaheed. They will be there. They will be accompanying the UNI with us. So we don't know. And they will be basically with us. And it will be said, you were certainly in unmindfulness of this, and we have removed from you your cover, so your sight this day is sharp. People say when people die, they close their eyes, but Allah SWT is saying when people die, they open their eyes. People say that people, when they die, everything is gone from their vision. Allah says everything is visible in front of them. This curtain, the death basically removes the curtain that we have in this dunya in front of us. In this dunya, we're not able to see the truth. In this dunya, we're not able to see the unseen world. In this dunya, we're not able to see what we learn about Qiyamah. But Allah is saying the minute a person dies, he will be able to see everything. His vision will become sharp. And all these things that you and I are trying to believe in the unseen and the ghaib, it will become the reality. The realm of the world is there, is that world, not this world. This is like a, you know, they say the matrix, when everything appears to be in a certain way, but it is not. This world is a matrix. And everything will be visible and very clear on that day. And his companion, the angel, will say, this record is what is with me prepared. Meaning, you cannot deny the fact. Allah will say, throw into hell every obstinate disbeliever, preventer of good, aggressor and doubter, who made as equal with Allah another deity, then throw him into the severe punishment. He, his devil companion, will say, our Lord, I did not make him transgress, but he himself was in extreme error. Notice here, the shaitan will go away and he will say, I did not make him do it, he did it. And he will not take the responsibility. Allah will say, today actually people sometimes take the responsibility. They say, come on, go ahead. I am here, right? So I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. Allah will say, do not dispute before me while I had already presented to you the threat that is warning. The word that is decree will not be changed with me, and never will I be unjust to the servants. What do we learn in this paragraph? Allah does not get tired. Allah's records are complete. Develop deeper vision so we can see the behind the veil, behind the curtain now. Two angels, Saib and Shaheed, will be with us. Today there is a curtain, and this curtain will be removed the minute we die. Allah does not change His promises. His promises are confirmed. In the next page, you learn this hadith narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, how can I be comfortable when the one with the horn is holding? It is his lips and his forehead is leaning forwards, waiting to be given permission to blow. The Muslim said, so what should we say, O Messenger of Allah? He said, say, Allah is sufficient. Allah is sufficient for us, and what a good protector He is. We rely upon Allah, our Lord, and perhaps Sufyan, one of the narrators, said, upon Allah we rely. This is in Tirmidhi 3243. Meaning, we have to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everything, and we have to realize that the trumpet is in the lips of the angel. Ayah number 30 to 45, deeds that bring Jannah closer. On the day, we will say to hell, have you been filled? And it will say, are there some more? Meaning, the hell will say, hal min mazid, because the stomach of the hell will never be filled. Even though it will have too many people, but it will want more and more and more. And paradise will be brought near to the righteous, not far. It will be said, this is what you were promised for every returner to Allah and keeper of His covenant, Awwab bin Hafiz. O Allah, make us Awwab bin Hafiz, who feared the Most Merciful, the unseen, in the unseen, and came with a heart returning in repentance. O Allah, give us Qalbi Munib, the heart that turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enter it in the peace. This is the day of eternity, Yawmul Khulud, permanency. Enter in peace. They will have whatever they wage therein, and with us is more. Meaning, waladayna mazid. Meaning, nobody knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accounted for us, and it will be something that is extra. They will have whatever they wage therein, and with us is more. And how many a generation before them did we destroy who were greater than them in striking power and had explored throughout the land? Is there any place of escape? Indeed, in that is a reminder for whoever has a heart of who or who listens while he is present. Meaning, heart has to be there for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ayah number 38. And we did certainly create the heavens and the earth and what is in between them in 6 days, and there touched us no weariness. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't get tired. So be patient, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, over what they say, and exalt Allah with praise of your Lord before the rising of the sun and before its setting, in the morning and evening azkar, importance of it, and in part of the night exalt him, the Hajjud prayer, Qiyamul Layl, after prostration, and listen on the day when the caller will call out from a place that is near. It is very qareeb, maqanin qareeb. The day they will hear the blast of the horn, in truth, that is the day of emergence from the grave. Indeed, it is we who give life and cause death, and to us is the destination. On the day the earth breaks away from them and they emerge rapidly, that is a gathering easy for us. And we are most knowing of what they say, and you are not over them a tyrant, but remind by the Quran whoever fears my threat. What beautiful surah, and it's ending on a serious note. May Allah give us the seriousness of this dunya. And morning and evening azkar are very important to do. Bring them and make intention right now that you're not going to miss them. Because this is how you will stay safe. And a trumpet is closer than we can imagine. Earth will rip apart. And advise them through Quran. Bring people through Quran. Because your word do not have that much power, and neither mine. It is the word of Allah. So narrated with Anas radiallahu anhu, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the people will be thrown into the hellfire, and it will say, are there any more to come? Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts his foot over it, and it will say, Qati, Qati, enough, enough. Meaning, until and unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his foot over it, the Jahannam will keep on asking more and more. Bukhari 4848. In Surah Adiyat, it says only just two ruku, very quick and small surah. Let's go over, inshallah. Surah Adiyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in ayah number 1 to 23, the guesswork. People aren't assuming what is the way. People are not really serious about what the end of the time will be. They just live their life just assuming and pretending that they know it all. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wadh-dhariyati dharwa. By the wind, scattered dust, dispersing it, and the clouds carrying a load of water, and the ship sailing with ease, and the angels apportioning each matter. Indeed, what you are promised is true, and indeed the recompenses occur. By the heavens containing pathways, indeed you are in deferring speed, deluded away from that is the Quran. He who is deluded, destroyed are the misinformers. Destroyed are the misinformers who are within the flood of confusion and heedless. Ghamratin sahun, O Allah, save us from this confusion and heedlessness. They ask, when is the day of recompense? It is the day they will have tormented over the fire, and it will be told, taste your torment. This is that for which you were impatient. Indeed, the righteous will be among gardens and springs. Look at the style of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about hellfire, he mentions Jannah. So we can get the taste of the food. So we are scared at the same time. We have hope. Indeed, the righteous will be among gardens and springs, accepting what their Lord has given them. Indeed, they were before that doers of the good. Zalika Muhsineen. Who will get the Jannah? Muhsineen. O Allah, truly make us Muhsin. They used to sleep but little of the night. They used to stay up. Can we make intention right now? Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even after Ramadan, I want to stay up for the Hajjud prayer. I'll give you a 3-second pause. And in the hour of before dawn, they would ask for forgiveness. وَبِلْ أَصْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. O Allah, make us among those. And from their properties was given the right of the needy, petitioner, and the deprived. Meaning, they share their wealth. They don't think that it is all belong to me. And on the earth are signs for the certain in faith. And in yourself, they will not see you. and in the heavens is your provision and whatever you are promised, then by the Lord of the heavens and earth, indeed it is truth, just as sure as it is that you are speaking. What did we learn in this paragraph? We learned that live a conscious life. Signs are there in our bodies, in ourselves, in universe, everywhere, that everything is for real. Talk to Allah during the later part of night. Narrated Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, our Lord, the Blessed, the Superior, comes every night down in the nearest heaven to us when the last third of the night remains, saying, is there anyone to invoke me so that I may respond to invocation? Imagine Allah's mother is asking himself. Is there anyone to ask me so that I may grant him his request? Is there anyone seeking my forgiveness so that I may forgive him? Three things we can all long for, inshallah. This is in Bukhari 1145. And narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Allah's Apostle said, the poor person is not the one who goes round the people and asks them for a mouthful or two of meals or a date or two, but the poor is that when who has not enough money to satisfy his need and whose condition is not known to others, that others may give him something in charity, and who does not beg of people. This is in Bukhari 1479, meaning the miskeen people, they don't ask, but they are in need. Let's look around for them, inshallah. Ayah number 24-30, we learn hospitality of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Has there reached you the story of the honored guest of Ibrahim? When they entered upon him and said, we greet you with peace, he answered, and upon you peace, you are a people unknown. Then he went to his family and came out a fat roasted calf and placed it near them. He said, will you not eat? And he felt from them apprehension. They said, fear not, and give him good tidings of the learned boy. O Allah, give all of us good learned children. And his wife approached with a cry of alarm and struck his face and said, I am a barren old woman. They said, thus has said your Lord. Indeed, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things done. Indeed, he is wise and knowing. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? كَذَلِكْ قَالَ رَبُّكْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْعَلِيمُ. Have belief in this ayah, inshallah. Do you know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep on giving us, and we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot give anymore. Every time when we are given something, we forget. Every time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it away, we say, he's not going to give us anymore. So this mindset has to change. Allah can give anything and everything every time. So what lesson do we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the evil ending, and spread salam, the greetings of peace, and save iman for our generations. Because whatever we do, we are actually working towards transferring this information, this knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the next generation. In the next slide, you learn the dua. Let's say the dua again. So this time, we truly mean it. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min munkaratil akhlaq wal a'mali wal ahwa. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from undesirable manners, deeds, and aspirations. In the last slide, the take-home message for today is, my personality reflects my inner belief. Meaning, what do I believe? What is my personality? You know why? Because our personality is a reflection of our iman. If our iman is inside, then all these ayahs will show and reflect. If iman is not there, then we can live the life the way we want to. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa sunjada such a faizah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. One more juz completed. And subhanallah, we covered 6 surahs in the juz. Did you sisters all notice that surahs are getting smaller, but the message is same? Reminders are given over and over again for the day of Qiyamah, for us to pay attention and leave the heedless behavior of ours. Ya Allah, save us from our
heedless behavior, may we take every warning, every reminder, and every commandment seriously. Amin, summa amin. Let's put our share and share one point we will ponder after leaving this session, inshallah wa ta'ala. Be a believer by copying lifestyle and mission of Sahabas. Alhamdulillah. Because Sahabas stories were highlighted in this juz, right? Alhamdulillah. And if anyone wants to take mic, they are most welcome to, inshallah wa ta'ala. A good leader guides his team. Indeed, he does. He or she does. Yes. Anyone else? Allah does not get tired. Oh yeah. Yes, yes. Social etiquettes we learned. Social etiquettes. Never lose courage. Avoid showing suspicions to others. Do not, there's a matter of going so fast. When taqwa comes into the heart, we remind full of fearful acceptance of our deeds. Inshallah, I did. Allah wants to see our hearts. Deeds will be deleted if not done with sincerity. Sincerity is the key. Ikhlas. Always. It is the basic point. May the admin please. Okay. Edmunds, could you please share slides 4 and 7 again, please? Create our personality like Sahabas. Indeed, we need to learn their traits, their qualities, and then inshallah ta'ala we can follow. Believers are the ones who believe in everything, inshallah ta'ala, yes. Observe night prayer, tahajjud. Okay. Could you please unmute the mics for the sisters, please? Let me do it. Okay. Edwin, could you please unmute the mics? Sister, try to unmute yourself if you can do it.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. There were so many beautiful reminders, and the take home for me was to live the life preparing for death, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Inshallah. Wa alaikum. Anyone else, sister? Alhamdulillah. Yes, Sister Zubeda?
Nothing. I was just looking at. I quite enjoyed it. It's the first time I've been on lectures. So I've missed most of them. And I found it really, really quite not good.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So are you planning to join in-depth course after Ramadan, sister?
Inshallah. Inshallah.
Inshallah. So take the first step and fill the form, inshallah wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, inshallah wa ta'ala, guide you what to do next, inshallah. So take the first step, inshallah.
Inshallah.
May Allah mabruk, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put loads of barakah in your intention and in your goal to learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam in the best manner, inshallah wa ta'ala.
Where is the course going to be on Zoom?
Yes, it is. Most probably it is. But all the informations will be given, inshallah wa ta'ala, soon. We are just trying to tie the loose ends, and inshallah wa ta'ala, all the information will be given to all the students who have filled in the forms. They will be sent emails with details, inshallah wa ta'ala, soon.
This is the first time I came onto one of these, and you know, I found it so, it was amazing.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Quran, every single ayah of Quran is so amazing. It's the, you know, like arm, when we are listening and what hits us, you know, and that's powerful. So, alhamdulillah. And when we pay attention, when we listen attentively, and inshallah, then we understand the Quran better, inshallah.
It's just that I wasn't sure how long it was going to be because it was Asr time, and then I left and I thought, no, but I'll come back because I'm sure you'll finish before Maghrib.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So you can always go and pray quick asr, inshallah ta'ala, and then come back and to continue, inshallah ta'ala.
Yeah, now I know, but I wasn't quite sure. But alhamdulillah, you know, it was really good, and it's quite scary as well.
See, if we use the knowledge positively, you know, take it as an exam. When you are given the review of the exam beforehand by the professor, and he or she tells you that this is what's going to come in exam, so it is not scary at all. Then you just prepare for it, right? Mm-hmm. So you use that knowledge in your favor, and you just use it positively. So we will be scared if we are not preparing for it.
It's scary in the sense that, you know, the mistakes that we've made, not knowing.
Then we repent, sister. Then that's what the repentance comes into, the maghfirah. And this is a special, nights of Ramadan. And we can make the best use of these nights. And inshallah wa ta'ala, we will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and, repent and then and vow to be the best servants ever, the best slaves ever, inshallah wa ta'ala. And not to go in that spiral circle again and then just to be on the... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the right path, inshallah wa ta'ala.
MashaAllah, I find it like this Quran class as like a map. I mean, we are planning to do the good things as a good human being, but I feel like I find the map on my hand after lost being so much.
Alhamdulillah, you don't get lost. You do so many deeds.
I find a highway to be on the right direction.
Alhamdulillah, so, alhamdulillah. That's the way it is.
Yes, because every human being, Allah always creates the best human being. Nobody is wrong. It's just we just don't know where the map is. So
Exactly.
To hand over.
Sometimes
we
have a vague picture, you know, we want to do, but we don't know exactly what to do. So this is what it is.
Exactly.
We are learning exactly what to do. Yes.
And the other sister just talking earlier saying that she was scared. I want to just give the message. Don't be scared, because I think it was scary before we know the Quran, but now it is the best route. Now we know how to repent, how to correct yourself. And Allah says many times, hell and heaven, but forgiveness. Come to me.
Both came side by side. Whenever the heaven is mentioned, the hell came. So we know exactly, you know, we are giving the both sides. It's up to us now which one we want to pick.
Yeah,
so
and that's sin, the same thing. The sin and the forgiveness come. Shaitan will cause us to do sin, but Allah said, I'll forgive my people. So sister, don't feel like we have done so much, but ask for repentance and inshallah.
Yeah, it'll be a long...
You don't know me. I'm a naughty, naughty girl.
Alhamdulillah. Let's cut it short because we have been sitting here long and let's do dua and it's Friday.
Yeah.
And we have Juma prayers to do, you know, like, so inshallah wa ta'ala, we will talk in detail sometimes later.
Sister, give me 30 seconds, okay? I would like to add something for my beloved sister, who is fearful. I would like to share that there is a hadith that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if people do not do sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would replace this whole nation and he would, another nation who would do the sin. Because it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves sin.
He wants us to repent, to come back to him.
People who do sin and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with repentance. So there's a lot of shining sunny days for us, inshallah. There's
alhamdulillah,
hope.
Alhamdulillah. Lots of glad tidings, loads of glad tidings, alhamdulillah.
Lots of glad tidings, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairin for such studious students, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Let's pray, Ya Allah, guide us to put our akhirah as a priority. Ya Allah, grant us the blessings of the blessed month. Ya Allah, help us meet the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. Ya Allah, grant us maghfirah. Ya Allah, grant us a life of iman and death upon iman too. Ya Allah, be our wali always. Ya Allah, be our guide even after Ramadan and help us establish a permanent connection with you. آمين ثم آمين. اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. اللهم نقني من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. اللهم اغسلني من الخطايا بالماء والثلج والبرد. اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت، خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على أحدك ووعدك ما استطعت. أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت، أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء بذنبي. فاغفر لي فاغفر لي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا وحسن جزاء إن شاء الله تعالى. If life and health permitted, إن شاء الله تعالى we'll see you tomorrow with just 27. And then stay safe, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you all from any kind of shar and evil, inshallah ta'ala. Amin summa amin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim. Watubu alayna watubu alayna watubu alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasuli khayri khalqihi muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.